Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here. Matthew Foreman.
Hello, hello.
It is a joy to be with you today, my brother. You always make me smile.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always a joy to be here.
In fact, we just have to take a picture and put it up because everybody who knows you feels the same way that I do. You just are a carrier of joy and you're not afraid to dish it out. And I appreciate that about you. I really do.
That's kind. I appreciate it.
And I want to say happy birthday, Pastor Kevin. We realize it's your birthday today, and we are celebrating. And to fill you with joy, I will not sing to you.
I don't know, because I have a feeling, Matthew, that Pastor K and Pastor M could harmonize quite nicely together.
It could sound incredible.
Pastor M, how do you say happy birthday in the language of India?
I am from India, so there are so many languages, but the national language is called Hindi, and we call people, if somebody have birthday, Janam Din Mubarak Ho.
I think I'll have to work on that one. Thank you very much for that.
And there are 1,600 other languages that are in India as well.
So we have about 30 minutes. Okay. But thank you for those well wishes. I tell you, one of the presents that I am receiving, we're going to talk about today a little bit, and that is for I don't know how long. Ever since I've known Pastor K, and the reason that we're using these letters, and if you go back to episode 78, you'll get some background, and I encourage you, the people that are listening, to go back. This is our second time together, Pastor M and Pastor K, talking about India and the amazing things that are happening there. But Pastor K, when did you first invite me to join you on this incredible adventure?
Of going to India, we started praying probably 2 years ago for one of the pastors from Foothills Church to go with us. And so your name came up of one of the three that we have been praying for. So we're glad that God has finally opened the door for you to go with us.
So we're going.
Well, yes, absolutely.
With the blessing of my wife.
That's critical.
It really is. I think we should do a little bit of background of what has been happening in India over the last 10 years. Pastor M, could you share with our listeners who didn't hear episode 78, what is the Lord doing there?
Pastor Kevin, it is a great privilege for me to share what God is doing in India. When we talk about India, India is a big country with 1.4 billion, thousands of languages, different people groups, different cultures. Every 20 kilometers, the dialect changes. Looks like if you are in India, you will feel that things that may be chaos and confusions, you will encounter those kinds of things. But what I can say that this is the right time for India. And what we are seeing since 10, 15 years, a move of God. We are seeing thousands and thousands of people are giving their life to God. Unstoppable, uncountable. We are not able to count the numbers, how many people are coming to Christ. Like we are just calling people in a training to train 50 people. And we are seeing over 60 people are there. And 10 of them, they are saying, no, I want. This is the time that I need to learn. So it's a great a move of God. It's like a wave is going on all over North India, Northern India. I think what a wonderful opportunity that God has given to us and to our country so that people are finding truth. And they are end up to accept Christ as their personal savior.
Yeah. And it's a significant decision. Now, obviously, it's a significant decision for anyone to give their life to the Lord and saying, you're Lord of my life. I give my life to you. But with the history that they have and the religions that are over there, this is significant and can also be dangerous, can't it?
Yeah, when you talk about religion, like India is famous for religions. We have all kinds of religions. The Hinduism has been birthed, Jainism, Sikhism, Buddhism started from India and all over the world. These days, people are learning more about Jesus. And when they talk about Christianity, they are finding that Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with living God.
Yeah.
And that's the difference about Jesus, that Jesus is living God and he loves all. Yeah.
It's incredible. Pastor K, how did you connect with Pastor M and how did that connection take place?
For about 20 years as a pastor and leadership trainer in different countries, I was praying for God to show me a plan, strategy, curriculum for training pastors to multiply churches worldwide. A gentleman came to my house when I was living in Asia and introduced himself, and I got trained by this group, began teaching 4 or 5 years in different countries of the world, and saw it was by far the most effective I had seen and hunted for. There was a celebration service, and Pastor M was at this celebration, and I found out that he was the source behind the material that I had been training. So we talked further, and I found out that I was using the edited version, 1/3 of the full version. So he introduced me to the other 2/3 of what they're doing, and saw that the great results of what I had been teaching and people had been applying by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was incredible. But when I got to India, it was 10 times more, or maybe 100 times more than what I had seen in other countries. And so he invited me to come, and I had been praying for 44 years and 3 times attempted to go to India, and God closed the door. But finally, after those 44 years, he invited me to come, and I saw the book of Acts in front of my eyes with the, and even greater things. Jesus said, the works that I have done, you will do, and greater works.
Yeah.
And so there was a baptism on the day of Pentecost of 3,000, and they had a baptism of 9,000. And churches and hundreds of thousands of people coming to Christ. It was just an answer to years of prayer, and I said, I want to be a part of this.
Sure. Well, who wouldn't? My goodness. Pastor M, do you have some understanding about why it has been so on fire and so effective? Obviously, it's the power of the Holy Spirit being poured out, but is there a strategy or a model that's happening in India that makes it so effective? Partnering with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, Pastor Kevin, I can throw out some of the principles, but let me share these things. India is a religious country. Most of the Indian, majority of Indian, they have understanding about good and bad. They understand very well what is sin. And there are millions of goddesses in India, uncountable. The trees are God, snakes are God, all kinds of animals are God to different peoples. But these days, Indians are asking these questions. Who is true God? And they're finding Jesus. Let me explain a little bit. Think about this way, that there are many millions of goddesses, but you can't find a God who loves the sinner. And that makes difference about Jesus. So Indians are very well known, and they are knowledgeable what is sins, and we go to them and we ask, hey, I'm happy that you are understanding what is sins. Have you not done a sin against your goddesses? And they said, yes. And then we ask question, you know, are those gods are going to kill you? Because the foundation of those goddesses, that they came to India to kill the sinners and giants. And they are shocked, and they said, yes. So we tell them, hey, you need a someone who loves you, who loves the sinner. And they said, yes, but there is no goddesses in India who loves the sinner. And then we tell the story of Jesus, that Jesus loves you, he died for you, and he's always there to help you to come out from those kinds of bondages. And when they are hearing the story of Jesus, that Jesus loves me, Jesus loves the sinner, and even not loves, he died for me to save my life. And that's make difference. And that's why millions of people are giving their life to Christ. Yeah.
That's a simple, powerful message that certainly could be told in California as well, and internationally, just the love of Jesus and his sacrifice for us. You need a Savior who loves you. What are some of the challenges that the pastors that are sharing Jesus face in India?
I can say Indian Christians are living in fear. Because the foundation that we have learned, Jesus always talks about love and forgiveness. He said that we came to this world to love others and to forgive. Because of this principle, most of the followers of Christ, their life like that. But most of the people, the first generation of Christians, are coming from the challenging family. Their life was bad. They were kidnappers, murderers, and they were very bad. And when they came to Christ, they were changed. So they fill with the love and forgiveness in their heart. But these days, there are so many fanatic groups in India. They were called as radical Hindus, and they are persecuting Christians. They are beating them. They are breaking the drums. They are breaking the church. They are breaking the cross. And government is looks like a blind, because the government belongs to the radicals. And so most of the Christians, they are living in fear right now. But those kinds of fear is making them to be more close with God and to depend on Him. So they are praying. They are asking God to do miracles. They are asking God to do something. I just want to let you all know that their prayer, their tears is not going to be in vain. It's going to be changed. Of course, this government, you know, is putting anti-conversion law in the states. That means you can't share your faith to others, and you can't share something that God has done in your life to others. It's an anti-conversion law that they're passing in many states, but God is still standing with these people, those who are trusting on Him. And I'm here to ask all of you, those who are listening, don't pray to stop the persecution. Never pray. Pray for all these believers, the first generation of Christians, who will be more bold to face the persecution, because persecution is not a new thing. Yeah. It's part of our life from the beginning. When we accept Christ, we welcome the persecution in our life. So don't pray for persecution to be stopped.
It's so funny, because at Foothills, I've gone to Cuba a couple of times. We have ministry down there. It's been very powerful. And a lot of indigenous pastors are doing all that work, and we support it. They said, "We're praying for you, Foothills. We love you so much. We're praying that you would find persecution." I'm going, okay, yay, that sounds wonderful. But it's exactly what you're saying right now. Pastor K, you've been to India. You've told me some of the snapshots, some of the stories. Can you tell me from your version, can you share with that some of those things that you've experienced yourself down there?
Yes, the quick summary is it's the book of Acts happening again. Not that it stopped, it's just I've seen it with my own eyes. We saw, I'd say, millions, not hundreds of thousands, in the reports, people coming to Christ. And when I interviewed them and asked them, "How did you come to know Christ?" 80 to 90% of them said they saw Jesus do a miracle of healing in front of their eyes, or the testimony in the village when somebody got healed, they came over and asked what happened, and they said, "Jesus has healed me." The others, many of them, they watched demonized people set free from the demons. There are also some of them, a few of them, that I think one gentleman, we'll call him Mr. V, he said he was at the funeral of his dead toddler nephew. And some Christians came up to the body, prayed over his nephew, and his nephew rose from the dead in front of his eyes. And he said, "I want to know the living God who just did that." And in baptism classes, demonized people set free as I watched. And then later, after she was set free, she walked into the baptism. And they have four of us were baptizing, because there were 154 people there on that Wednesday afternoon, which is unusual for Americans to see that kind of results. So she walks in with peace of God in her heart, I baptize her and she's full of joy, set free. So what I also saw is the freedom and the power of God displayed, and that Pastor M and his team then trained them to be sharing their faith. And that's at the beginning of their discipleship plan. Yeah. Start telling people now, even if you don't know any Bible verses, you don't know the Romans Road, tell what happened. And the people are doing so. Then they train them to walk in maturity, to be disciples, and everyone is expected, as the Bible teaches, Jesus said, go and make disciples. These are people who are making disciples. Simple, some of them educated, and the illiterate people are sharing and leading hundreds of people, no, thousands of people to Christ, starting hundreds of house churches, and going into villages that have no Christians, they have no Bibles, they have no churches. They're what we call unreached, unengaged people. And half of the world's unreached, unengaged people live in India. So for me, I think, wow, if half of them live there, that's where we need to be focused. There are other nations as well.
Sure.
And we're still involved in other nations. But obviously, God has put a bullseye on India as a place. It's the largest population of the world with the most unreached people. We need to be praying and focused there.
Absolutely, prayer. And I want to know, so how can people get connected to this so that they can be praying regularly for something that's amazing? How do we connect them to that?
The best way would be to send either an email or a text message, and that we can add them to our prayer team, and then invite me or one of our team to come and to share with your pastor, your leaders, or your small group, share more fully than we can do on a public podcast like this.
The other part of it for me is that I know that God loves us all. He particularly loves Indians and things amazing that are happening there, but we want to see this in our community. Pastor M, do you have some encouragement for America and for the people who are listening? And the podcast goes out internationally, but mostly in the U.S. We want to see that in our communities. We want to see this happen. And God wants it. We know He does. So is there something that you could encourage the American Christians about how they can see this happening in their own lives, in their own communities?
One thing I realize about this country that, you know, that there are many mega, mega churches, big churches, and they were taught by leaders, by pastors, or they were taught to come on Sunday and just be in those churches to worship Christ for 2 hours maximum, 3 hours maximum. But majority of the churches, they are not teaching that, hey, you all are not only believers. Of course, praise God that you all believe in Jesus and you are coming to the church. Praise God for those kinds of things. The Great Commission has been given to His disciple. And for me, what I understand, those who believe in Jesus, they are His disciple. And these all people, most of the Christian here in the United States, when they will understand that I'm disciple of Jesus, and the role of disciple to be disciple maker, Jesus said that if you want to follow me, that means take up his cross. And when people, they will understand that I am his disciple, I believe in Jesus, I'm his disciple, and my role and responsibility is to be disciple maker, then this country will see the great revival.
So when someone understands that calling, yeah, that understanding of who their identity is,
yeah,
who they are, what are the challenges that they have to overcome? Is it fear that I don't know enough, so how could I make a disciple? What are the things that stand in the way?
When people, they give their life to Jesus, that means something happened to their heart. They believe Jesus as their personal Savior. You don't need too much information to lead people to Christ. No. Your testimony, what happened to you personally with Jesus. You are the best one to reach your friend, to reach your family, to reach your neighbor. God has appointed you in that circle. And when you feel that you are a disciple of Jesus, you will go to those people, those who are close to you, because you are the best one. And you can tell your testimony, this is what happened to me personally, and I want my friend to have some kinds of experience in their life. Because it's not about comfort. It's not about like a prosperity gospel that you believe in Jesus and you will have everything. No. Jesus never talked these kinds of things. But he said that if you want to be my follower, take up my cross. If you want to be my follower, bear much fruit. Think about Mark chapter 4, talks about the good soil produce the fruit. And Jesus talks about 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. Mm-hmm. And these days, all these believers, those who are going to the church, they forget that they are disciples. They don't think that to bear much fruit. So my heart, my prayer that all these people, they need to understand that they are belongs to God. They belongs to Jesus. They are not belongs to world. Our identity in Christ, that we are His follower. We are His children. He is our Abba Father. In India, the culture is very strong. And like when parents they die, I don't know anything about here, the property, the things, whatever is belongs to those parents automatically will be to their children.
Inheritance.
Automatically, heritage.
Yeah.
So think about the great commission that God has given to us, to His people, to His disciple. That is belongs to us. We need to fulfill that. And those kinds of identity that we do have in Christ. Think about Jesus' promise that you will have an everlasting life. That means you are part of everlasting. You are, of course, physically you are going to die, but spiritually you will be always everlasting. Yes. People need to understand these kinds of principles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Pastor Kay?
I am firmly committed to doing so and have enjoyed seeing the fruit of that teaching of Jesus lived out and watching Pastor M and his team train people, because I went through Bible college and seminary, and I appreciate all of the training I received, but they have a different style. They do a little bit of training and a whole lot of application. They send people out, and before you graduate to come on their staff, who receive $80 a month for them and their family, for the pastor and their family, they have to plant 3 churches, house churches, and they have to lead 200 people to Jesus and baptize, I think it's 50. And that's the process of getting ready to become a pastor. And that was so radically different than our American style of lots of information, which is good, very good.
Sure.
But the application along the way, they are heavy in application and slower in delivering the information, but the requirement is what we have been taught, we do. And we don't come back for lesson 2 until we've finished lesson 1 and applied it and multiplied. Yeah. So they not only say that, what you just heard Pastor M say, but they actually do it and have the accountability, and they walk with them. They just don't say, go do it. They have trainers and master trainers who walk with them to show them how to do it and that they are successful. And then they get excited.
Yeah.
It's so thrilling because God does the impossible through them. And I hate to say this word addiction, but there is a spiritually beneficial addiction mm-hmm. to seeing the glory and
there
the power and the miracles of God. When you see it, you don't want to let go, and you want to continue in that. And my faith continues to grow as I see these young, poor, simple people doing what most seminary graduates would love to be doing, but we get caught up in our system.
Yeah, we were talking before we went on and about a beautiful healing that happened to a friend of ours at our church. It was a Saturday night, and I think Pastor Neil was teaching on the immensity of God. This, let's just think for a little bit about how incredible our God is, what he created everything, and he can do anything. And one of our friends came up for a prayer, and I know you probably wouldn't talk about yourself, so I get to talk about you. And you used to pray with this guy, a condition that he had for years where he couldn't raise his arms up at all. He had to get patted down at every airport because he couldn't assume that position that we all have to do for the radar, microwave, gizmo that they have there. And he was totally healed, completely and totally healed. And when that happens, you just want to keep praying for people. It gets you, you go, thank you, Father, that you called me into this, that I could see this. And it's the same way. I get texts every week from listeners, Trevor and Vanessa especially. I love you guys. And they tell me who to pray for because that's who they shared Jesus with that night. Mm. And they're out there and they're just doing it. And what are they doing? They're sharing their story. And it all, and they're also listening to the other person's story, that they've gone through this crisis, or they're going through this challenge, or this brokenness, and they listen to their story, they tell their story, and it always ends up with his story, which is, you need a Savior who loves you and gave his life for you, and you can. And there is, it gets me ignited, because there are people that just want to keep me sharing every day because of the enthusiasm, because what's happening and lives being changed. And I think that is global. And you just start. I've shared too many times on these episodes about the demoniac. Okay, demoniac gets healed and he goes, I'm with you, Jesus. Man, oh man, I was this famous demoniac. Everybody was terrified of me. And he goes, nah. You see these 10 cities, the Decapolis here? Go tell everybody what God has done for you. And so no seminary, not a whole lot of Bible training, just a living example of the grace of God. And there he was in charge of 10 cities. I think we need more application.
Yes.
I really do.
And if I can share one other part that I've seen, is that the northern part of India was famous as the graveyard of missions. Mm-hmm. For decades, if not centuries. And people would go there faithfully and die there or get rejected and sick. But they kept on praying. The Bible makes it very clear, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, that's the first part, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I forgive their sin and will heal their land. But prayer is hard work. Colossians 4 says that. It's hard work. But these are people of prayer. And when we pray for America, we are praying for revival. So when they ask me at the end of our conferences that we teach, what can we pray for? I said, pray that God will bring revival to San Diego and America like I'm seeing there. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we believe that God can do the impossible like he's done in the past in America, but he's looking for people who will pray. And one of the key passages of that is Jesus got angry when he overturned the tables and cast the money changers out of the temple. And he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. Mm-hmm. It's a quote from Isaiah. And unfortunately, most of us forget about the people we don't see and we haven't met. But Jesus says our churches in America are to be praying for all the groups of people, the Afghans, the Pashtuns, the Turkmen, the Turks, the et cetera, et cetera. And so I want to encourage the listeners to be praying. And when they get the emails that we send out every week, it has unreached people and what to pray for. So that we begin to pray, and as we give our prayers to others, I've seen God blesses us.
Yes.
And as we're praying for revival for them, then God gives us what we're praying for. And that's a revival in our own hearts. And that's what I've been praying. I've been a pastor here for in the United States for 30 years, and I travel overseas, but my heart is here. This is my home. San Diego's my home. And I'm expecting revival to come because we pray for revival in India.
Amen. Pastor Jim, would you do us the honor of praying for the people who are listening?
Yes, let's pray.
Yes, thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, and Lord, we know that without you we can't do anything, Lord. It is a privilege for me to pray for all the great people, the great listeners, those who are listening these stories. I pray that you bless them, Lord. I pray that you just open their hearts and mind so that they can become disciple maker and they can bear much fruit. Lord, I pray, even if somebody who are going through challenges, troubles, you do the miracle.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, even if somebody who are sick, I claim in the name of Jesus that they will be sickness free. Lord, I pray that they will find the identity, the strong identity that you have given to them, and they can claim in their life. Lord, I pray for Pastor Kevin as he always brings people to tell your story, what you are doing around the world. I pray for Foothills Church, all the people, the members, the staffs, that you just be with them, Lord, and make this church blessing to thousands and millions of people. Lord, bless them. Bless this country. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.